Radio Split Ranch.
Hello and welcome once again to Radio Split Ranch, a monthly visit with the Capital Region's great broadcasters of the past and sometimes present. I'm Warren Garling when I'm not on the radio. My guest of this edition is now well known as the Game Show Man if you happen to live in or near the Villages in Florida. But well before he entertained crowds of seniors with jukebox bingo and group family feud parties, he woke us up on regional powerhouses like WTRY, K-Lite, and B95. I know you're going to enjoy my conversation with the one and only Rick Mitchell. So Rick Mitchell, again, one of those Ricks that moved to Florida, but we caught up with him and actually have him on the phone right now. And Rick, when you answered the phone yesterday, you sounded like the old Rick Mitchell I remembered. Voice is really hanging in there, huh?
Well, yeah, the voice is hanging in.
How's the rest of the body doing?
Well, the rest of the body, I've had some medical issues.
Oh,
that
I'm
we
sorry.
Can talk about.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a little bout with cancer about 20 years ago. Yeah, it was kind of odd. But you know what? It was from being a kid, and we used to lay out in the sun.
Oh, yeah.
And mom would put baby oil on us.
You know, yeah, exactly. Let's get that tan going, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And I wound up with cancer in my belly button.
Wow, of all things.
In my navel, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I had to go, and they removed my – I mean, how many people can say they lost their belly button? But I did. And, you know, everything has been okay, but it kind of awakened me.
Sure.
Back in the day, I used to think that I wanted to do theater, and I never got a chance to. But after that happened, I said, you know what? God forbid I survive this. Who knows if I'll survive the next one? And I did, and I wound up doing 25 shows eventually on stage and stuff like that. So, I mean, little things like that give you that impetus to get moving.
Yep, absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. Well, it's good to hear your voice. Let's go back. Okay. Most of these interviews I do, we start with where radio hit us. Where were you and how old were you when you thought, man, this might be fun to do?
Well, I was probably 17 or 18. I was on a subway train in New York City because I grew up in Brooklyn. And I was riding along, and there was one of those advertisements inside the subway train that said, earn money being on the radio or something like that. And now, being on the radio was one thing that happened. Earning money, well, maybe not so much.
Maybe not.
Yeah. So, and I remember it was a school called Career Academy.
I remember it.
And I remember calling and asking about it. And, you know, we'll make a tape and send your voice out and blah, blah, blah. I said, well, shoot, I can do that, you know? And that's what I did. A friend of mine had a tape recorder. I taped myself, and I just started sending tapes out all over New York. I didn't even think about going to another state.
Sure.
But went to New York, and I sent tapes up to upstate. Canandaigua, New York, called me out of the blue.
Oh my gosh, I was shocked. Yeah.
Yeah. And in fact, the guy who did it, George Kimball, wound up owning stations in Syracuse and Canandaigua and Rochester and whatever. Anyway, he called me and said, listen, you know, we'd like to bring you up. We like your voice. Why don't you come up here? And I remember looking at my parents, and my father said, what do you want to do this radio thing? Nobody makes money talking on the radio. Who makes money talking on the radio?
Really? Well, at least your parents knew that. Mine didn't know that. They encouraged me, you know, and then did I know that I was never going to get rich doing this. You know?
Yeah, exactly. So I took the job and got in the car. And my father gave me an old 59 Chrysler and I drove up from Brooklyn to Canandaigua, which was 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I started working September 13th, 1970. It was a Sunday afternoon. George was there with me. And it was just about to turn 1 o'clock when the afternoon show started on Sunday. And I remember him looking in the door and saying, all right, man, good luck. Take care.
Wow.
He shut the door. He shut the door.
Yeah.
So, he
didn't go to Career Academy. You just saw the ad that kind of spurred you.
Right.
So,
exactly.
So what made you think you could do this? Yeah.
Well, just because I loved music as a kid in the 60s.
Yeah.
And I just figured I could. And I mean, they gave me a little training the day before.
Yeah.
But, I remember being in that studio alone, and I made a mistake, you know, because it was records and needles and everything else. And I remember going, oh, shit. and you know, real low. And I said, "Oh my God!" You know, and the microphone was hot.
Gosh.
But my career could have ended right there. But the music was loud enough that it covered it up, and I kind of half whispered it. You know what I'm saying? So, but yeah, there you go. I went on from right there.
The crazy thing is, in 1969, a year before you, I did the same exact thing. I'm on the air on a Sunday morning, and I'm pushing the button for the cart to start, and I hadn't pulled the capstan up to the rubber wheel, and I realized it, and the mic's open, and I said, "What the hell?" And I'm and you didn't say hell on the radio in 1969. And again, I thought my career was over. I was only like 6 months into it. You know, crazy stuff.
So I did
now,
my
what,
time.
What was the call letters there? What were the call letters?
WCGR. Okay. It was 1,000 watts day, 250 night. and I shouldn't say that really. It was a daytimer.
Okay.
I mean, basically, so I would work 2 p.m. until sign off.
Nice.
So in July it would be 2 to 9.
Mm-hmm.
December would be 2 to 4:30.
Right.
You know, I was only making $1.80 an hour.
I could barely
survive. So I wound up taking a job as a cab driver.
Well, I was going to say you had time left on the winter, especially to do extra work for sure. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And the people I worked for told me, they said, you know, listen, we know this company. They're nice people, and go work for them. And, you know, we'd love to give you more, but we really can't afford to.
Sure. Sure.
So at one point they gave me a raise up to $2 an hour. I mean, I was thrilled. But after 10 months, I said, you know what? This is it. So I started sending tapes out all around the country.
Good for you.
And I wound up getting a phone call from a guy in Great Falls, Montana. I had no idea where it was. Never stepped out of New York State. they called me. They said, listen, well, come out and do the afternoon show. And I said, yep. And the woman and the girl, it wasn't a woman, it was a young girl. She said, really? We're going to go out there? I said, let's go. It's an adventure, you know?
Jeez.
So we did. And I drove 4 days to get to Montana. And we wound up staying out there 2 years.
Well, good for you.
Well, absolutely. And not only that, but I worked for a program director who molded me into a morning man. At one point, the morning guy left.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? I can do this. And he said, all right. He goes, I'll give you a shot. And he put me on the morning show. And I stayed almost 2 years doing mornings.
Excellent. What were the calls there?
Cutie, KUDI. It was a chain of stations that owned call letters that were Cutie, KQDI, KUDE, KUDI. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know what the name, I forget the name of the company, but every station was Cutie. It was pretty, but we weren't allowed to use Cutie.
Interesting.
Because the jocks that had Cutie in the 60s were molesting young girls and sleeping with teenage girls. And, you know, that. So there's no, you can't use Cutie because it brings back bad memories for people.
What did I know?
I had never been there. So it was kind of weird. You know?
What was life like in Great Falls, Montana, especially in the wintertime? What was it like?
Well, I mean, it was cold. But, I mean, look, I mean, there were some nights it got down to 30, 40 below with a wind chill. But wait, with a wind chill of, you know, 80 below.
Yeah, right.
All right. Crazy. So I'd get up and go to work at 3:00 because the morning show started at 5. I'd get up and go to work, and then maybe later in the afternoon, the Chinook winds would come in across the mountains, and the temperature would go from 40 below to 50 above.
My Lord. That's
so
crazy.
You got sick a lot.
Sure. You didn't know what to dress for half the time.
Yeah. The radical change in temperatures was just amazing.
Isn't that crazy?
Did 2 years.
Yeah.
It's a great station. Did remotes. Did everything I needed. And I had a great time out there. Yeah. But after 2 years, I said, I miss my family.
Uh-huh.
I
mean,
I sent tapes out to upstate New York.
Now, are you using Rick Mitchell this whole time? Were you always Rick Mitchell?
No. At Cutie, I used Rick Scott.
Okay.
And when I got there, they said, we have two names because I got hired with another guy. Mm-hmm. So we got two names. We got Rick Scott. We got Dave Roberts. So then I said, let me think about it. And they said, no, second thought. Let's give you Rick Scott. You're going to do middays 1 to 4. This is before I started mornings. You're going to do middays 1 to 4. And that's more of a daytime name. I mean, the stupidest, I could tell you stupid things that happened to me throughout my career.
You got me coughing. That is too much. Well, hey, I was Jesse James when I first went on the air, so there
well,
you
there
go.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly. Crazy stuff. And right. J.P. Scott, his name, real name, J. Paul Varelli, he was one of the earlier jocks on GNA, first program director at GNA 50 years ago. And he's given over at PTR, when he went there overnights, Greg Lyons, and there had been like three Greg Lyonses before him. So he tells a story where he put a tiger growl in the middle of his jingle, and so he became Greg Tiger Lyons. So he stood out from all the other Greg Lyonses out there.
Well, you know, there was a station in Montana that the morning, midday, and afternoon guys all had the same name. And if one guy left, they just put somebody else in there, but he still used the same name.
Oh, I'll be darned. Crazy stuff.
I mean, it was, I forget what the names were, but it was like, oh, my, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah, you know? Well, you know, these companies wanted to save money on the jingles. You know, I didn't have my own shout until I was like halfway through my radio career, you know, because, you know, they either gave you a different name or you just went without a personal jingle, you know, so crazy.
Yeah, I know what you mean. So anyway, so I was Rick Scott out there.
Cool.
So after sending the tape to upstate New York, John Kramer called me from WTOY. I don't even know if he's still alive. He might be, might not.
I don't remember.
Yeah, but he called and he said, "Listen, why don't you come to Albany?" And I said, and I was going to be production guy because he liked my production voice. And I said, "Okay." So I won't have a full time shift, but at least I'll be close to family. So I 4 days in the car driving back. they put me up when I got there at the Hendrick Hudson Hotel.
Oh my Lord. Talk about old names. Yeah.
Downtown Troy.
Troy. Yeah.
Stayed there for about 3 or 4 days and finally got an apartment in Waterville, Leeds at Fenimore Trace.
Oh, sure. Sure. I had friends that lived in there. Yeah. Yeah.
Right across the bridge.
Yep,
yeah.
Yep.
And, so I wound up doing production. Well, a month and a half after I'm there, John Kramer gets a job offer to go to Akron, Ohio.
Oh.
And he takes it. And I'm going, oh, God.
Yeah.
New PD is going to come in. Mm-hmm. He's going to can my tail, just like it would happen at a lot of stations.
Oh, sure.
You know?
Sure.
So he took the job. And first, before he took it, he called me in. He said, "Listen, I want you to know for everybody else. And I'm so sorry that I brought you here such a long distance. But I'm going to take the job and quit."
Mm.
I said, "Okay, well, thanks for the heads up." And so I didn't know what I was going to do. So they said to me, they said, "Listen," they said, "fill in for the morning show. We're going to hire somebody else." I said, "Okay, fine. That's great." And they were going to hire a guy named Gary Peters. You remember Gary Peters?
You know, the name sounds familiar.
Yeah, he was a big shot in Connecticut, and they brought him into Troy to take over the morning show.
Okay.
But apparently he had got into a verbal scuffle with the management or something, and management let him go like a month after he started.
Wow.
And I'm there, and they said, "Listen, take over the morning show. It's yours. You do with it what you want."
Wow.
And good luck.
Yeah,
so,
right.
So I said, "Okay, fine." And I kind of put together a thing of what I wanted to do, and son of a gun, if it didn't just take off like a rocket.
There you go. There you go.
And that was before Fred Peabody and the helicopter reports and stuff. And I mean, but I was a shock jock, and a lot of it was dirty, and a lot of it was pretty vulgar.
Well,
too.
That's interesting. I don't remember that that part. And I was certainly back in the area by that time and listening to you, so it must not have shocked me.
Well, 73 to 74.
Okay.
Was, you know, a lot of tit jokes, a lot of boob jokes, dick jokes. I could go on and on. But, you know, it was, but that was the time when Imus was doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and Stern was coming
was
up.
Doing,
yep.
Stern
yep.
was coming up. Yeah, exactly. So I did that for a long time, but the kids loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Then we used to do the ethnic joke of the day.
Oh, geez.
You know, I mean, it's none of this was politically correct.
No, no. And stuff you wouldn't get away with today,
not on
commercial radio anyway, you know.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, it took off. And then, I heard on the interview you did with John, I remember John and I became best friends.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we lived together for a year as roommates.
You and John,
stuff.
Not really. Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Colony East. Over on 155 is where we had an apartment. And I mean, we were both single guys in our early to mid-20s.
Sure.
And I mean, we just were driving somewhere. I forget where it was in New England. And I said, you know, I want to create a character. And that's where we came up with the whole Fred Peabody idea.
Good morning. I'm Rick Mitchell, champion of justice and protector of mankind. It's 20 before 9, 8:40 on a snowy Friday morning. Take it easy. Those roadways getting a little slick. It's snow, 1 degree, wind chill, 31 below. So bundle. You're probably wondering why I said protector of mankind. I just filled out one of those organ donor cards. Yeah. Yeah, donate my organs, so what? In case I die, somebody gets my Wurlitzer.
Save now during Christmas.
15 before 9, 8:43. Well, let's get to Fred Peabody here with our last traffic report on the Rick Mitchell Show. Fred Peabody, come in there, Freddy boy. Fred.
Howdy, Mr. Mitchell. This here is Fred Stonewall Peabody in the TRY helicopter for the last time.
Yeah, Fred, it's your last TRY traffic report. And for those folks who are wondering why, not only am I leaving town, but Fred has decided to continue with Oldies Night, right, Fred?
Right, I'm going to do that, yep.
And continue your helicopter flying school.
Yeah.
But I can't. You don't like to get up this early, but
it's tough, Mr. Mitchell. You know, after all these years.
Yeah, I guess, Fred. Well, all right. What can you do? You know, I was wondering now, what's going to take your time? I mean, these early hours of the morning.
Well, Mr. Mitchell, I'm going to get up a little later now. You know, but I got my three kids, my wife, my income taxes due. You know, I'm going to have a lot of trouble finding some loopholes. You know, to beat them IRS people. You know.
Yeah, I guess, Fred. In fact, taxes are due in 2 months.
Yeah, I know.
But they better be legal loopholes that you take, Fred. No cheating on the government.
I won't cheat, Mr. Mitchell. You know, but it really bugs me, you know, some rich people, you know, they get bigger loopholes and all that stuff, you know.
Yeah, I know,
like,
Fred.
Like Dolly Parton, Mr. Mitchell.
Dolly Parton?
Yeah.
What kind of loopholes would she get that are extra?
Well, she deducts 500 bras.
500 bras?
Each year, yep. She deducts 500 bras.
Now, Fred, I can't see any possible way or reason that you could be able to deduct a brassiere from your income tax. Under what category?
Well, she puts it under upkeep.
Fred, I don't believe you, even on the last one.
Yeah, well, you know...
This is what you've written these things all these 4 or 5 years for, right?
That's right, Fred.
To make me feel dumb, dumb.
That's very correct. See, everybody always wonders what the real Fred Peabody sounds like.
And this is what I sound like.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. People always say that you do both the voices and it's impossible to do both at the same time, and we're proving it, right?
That's right. We can talk together and there's no hassles.
Yeah. I just like to say that the last 4 years, or 4 years ago, I never dreamt that Fred Peabody would be on the air this long, and really just started out to be a quick bit with a dumb guy in a helicopter, and that's what he still is today. We've had a lot of fun producing these things, and a lot of fun meeting a whole lot of people out there in the Capital District, and I want to thank them, and it really has been a pleasure working with you, and I really thank you for letting me be a part of something this area will not soon forget, and I'll never forget, I know.
Thank you very much for the use of your voice.
And
bring up the helicopter one more time here. We're going to do it to it here. This is Fred Stonewall Peabody for everybody in the Capital District. Bye-bye!
So long, Fred! Oh, I'm not going to say anything snotty this time. It's 15 before 9, 8:45. That's right. We are here to praise Fred Peabody and not to bury him. But let me tell you, the vote was pretty close.
Good morning!
I mean, I owe John a lot, not only because he did that and worked with me on my show, which really had no advantage to him except for the fact that he was doing a different kind of radio than he was doing at Wish 106.
Sure.
But because he and I started doing dances and high school parties and things like that, he knew music and equipment and sound. I knew nothing about it.
Wow.
And I learned a ton. I owe John a lot because I wound up, you know, eventually doing 150 to 200 gigs a year,
mm-hmm.
and morning radio, making a fortune.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still doing it down here. And again,
that's what I understand. Yeah, it took us a while to connect because you're just so darn busy. That's terrific.
Yeah, so I wound up staying at TRY for six years, yeah.
Not bad, not bad. And this is when you guys were still competing with, you know, folks like WPTR and,
right.
and other, you know, now FM was on the scene, so Fly 92.
FM was starting.
Yep.
But there were still some big AM stations, and TRY and PTR were, quote, big AM stations.
Absolutely.
As big as you could be in what we used to call Smallbany.
Yes.
But so after 6 years, they brought in Dan Martin.
Mm-hmm.
And he and I just didn't see head to head, eye to eye. But people would say to me, you're doing so well here in Albany. When are you going to try to move up and keep going up the radio chain?
Interesting. Yeah.
So I started sending tapes out all across the country.
Sure.
I got a call from Denver. The money I didn't think was fair for a city like Denver. And I got calls from other cities, Baltimore and a few others. And all of a sudden, I got a call from Raleigh. Of all places, Raleigh, North Carolina, which was just about to explode with growth and everything else. Anyway, they flew me down, and I went in for the interview. Nice guy that was the program director, and they offered me the morning show. Nice. And they nearly doubled my salary, which
nice,
was like,
nice.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no kidding. Yeah. So I took the job and went down there alone, and it was WKIX, Kix Radio.
Perfect.
Again, another one. You can't use Kix on the air because
seriously,
it brings back bad memories of DJs who did horrible things.
Oh,
I swear to God. You know,
crazy.
So I said, yeah, okay. So we used WKIX, and it was a well-known, well-respected station.
Good.
That was starting to get hit by the FMs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it was there for 2 years, and sure enough, they bring in a new PD.
Boy, is this the story of most of us? You know,
oh,
I mean, we wind
God.
Up, yeah, we either the station gets sold or changes formats, or they bring in a PD and he's just going to, you know, shuffle things up. They usually do. They usually bring in the college buddy to do mornings and, you know, stuff
right,
like
exactly,
that. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I was doing mornings, and I had a good morning show. I had a partner. I had a sports guy. I had a weather guy, you know what I'm saying? And it was a really good show. The ratings could have been a little bit better, but they weren't bad. I mean, I was in the top three, so
there
I wasn't
go.
Worried about that.
Sure.
So they bring in this guy, and his background is country.
Oh, boy.
And then they bring in a new GM, and his background is country.
Oh, geez.
And I'm going, oh, geez, I know what I'm, you know, ready for here.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, I get a call from WTRY again. Michael Neff. Do you remember
sure,
Michael Neff?
Sure, I do. I never met the gentleman, but the name is well-respected here. Absolutely.
Yeah, I know. He passed away several years
yes,
ago.
Yes, yeah.
Michael Neff calls me and says, listen, we're going to be rebranding WTRY on FM, and we want you to come back up. I said, well, you know, I'm down here. I said, but you know what? I didn't tell him that I was in a tough situation.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back up, and we talked and this and that, and they made a decent offer for money. And
mm-hmm.
So they said, but you're not going to start for 3 months.
Ooh, interesting.
So I said, oh, really? So we signed the contract. And can I tell you what a liberating feeling that is when you know you're going to get fired up, you know, where I was,
yeah,
or at
yeah.
least I thought I could. But meantime, in the back of my head, I'm like, yeah, I don't give a damn.
You
know,
got
I'm
a safety
3 months.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had a, and that was probably the most relaxed 3 months of my career.
There you go. You didn't have to worry about much of anything. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I finally gave them my notice, I think 3 weeks before I left. And they said, you know, you could have told us you were leaving. I said, really? I said, you know, well, you could have told me that you were going to let me go. Eventually.
Yeah.
I said, no offense, guys. You're all very nice people. I said, but I'm giving you the notice.
The best one I ever had was, you'll be back. When I, you know, I gave my notice,
oh,
and
yeah.
you don't say that to me. I'm sorry, you know.
It's
like the person that early on in GNA's being WGNA when we were doing FM country for the first time in this market, people telling me, well, you guys will never be a top five station, and I took it to the top five within a few years, and so you don't challenge me like that because I'm going to prove you wrong, you know. So
no, you're right.
Yeah.
So I came up, and they had. They had told me when they signed me, they said, we're going to start a news thing, 99 The Light.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's what we did. And it was a whole different thing. It was almost like a mix of album rock, some oldies. I mean, it was like a little a hodgepodge of everything. And that's what I took over the morning show. But that really wasn't Rick Mitchell. But at that point, I knew I was going to need a job soon. This money was here. I had the name recognition in Albany. So I took it. But it didn't work. It didn't work.
Mm.
A couple, 3 years later, they let me go.
Mm-hmm.
It happened. What are you going to do?
It does. Yeah.
Yeah. So I had met my wife in Raleigh, and she was up there with me. And so, you know, I got fired. I just had a daughter. She was 2 months old.
Oh, gosh.
When they let me go. It was Randy Bondgarten. He was the the GM there.
I remember the name. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. And in between, you know, I did overnights at WGY, did a talk show. I'll never forget that. That was different in that I wasn't associated with talking. It was midnight to 6. Yeah. It was a long... No, it was 11 to 5. That's right.
Okay.
Jeez, yeah. That was a long time.
That is a long time. And you can't just lay back and well, we'll just throw a record on because I don't know what to do next, you know, right?
Yeah,
I mean, you're doing talk, yeah.
Yeah, it was talk and music.
Oh,
and
you did have some music.
I did have some music, but for the most part, it was talk. That was a... Oh. And then they even had me do a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Like from 9 to noon.
Okay.
And I think what the plan was is that they were the morning guy that was at WGY, this was before Don Weeks, he was going to be leaving or something. And I think in the long run, they wanted to throw me on the morning.
Yeah.
But I just couldn't take those overnight hours.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That was people say, well, geez, how do you like waking up early? Easy compared to doing overnights.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, as my late mother-in-law used to say, you can get used to anything but hanging. And I love that phrase. And you really can. I mean, I did mornings for many years, and boy, I loved it when I was done. But you get used to it. You're up at 4:30, and you know, your day is started earlier than most. My wife always complained that I woke up telling jokes anyway. So, you know, might as well do the mornings, you know.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, even at this station that I'm at now here in the Villages, I get up at 3 on the days I work. I only work two days a week now. But I get there early, a couple hours. I need some time to relax, plan a show.
Yeah.
You don't just walk in and start talking.
Exactly.
And it makes it, that's just what I've always done. And even people I meet down here, they say, you get up that early for a morning show? I said, yeah, I do. I
mean, wow.
Yeah.
So how long did the GY thing last?
Well, GY was 6 months, because then WCOY called me back and said, listen, you know, and so, but, you know, look, I remember giving my notice, and Jim Delmonico, who was the head of GY and GFM, he was the manager. I guess it was, anyway, he called me up and he said, listen, I know you're leaving. I get why. He goes, let's go have lunch. I said, okay, fine. Mm. And he said, I just want you to know that I in the long run, I had plans for you, but I certainly understand why.
Sure.
And because it would have been 2 or 3 or 4 years. And as I just didn't like the talk radio format. It just wasn't me.
Yeah.
Just wasn't me.
Sure.
So, all right. So then I wound up taking the job in Syracuse.
Oh, okay.
For George Kimball, the guy who gave me my first job.
He
needed a morning host. And he said, why don't you come to Syracuse? And I said, okay, fine. I wasn't going to. I still had a house in Schenectady. So me and my wife and our one daughter at the time, we moved to Syracuse, moved into an apartment, and did the morning show on, again, an AM station when FMs were taken over like crazy.
Right. What was it? Were the calls there?
Wolf. Wolf.
Oh, sure. I know Wolf. Yeah.
WOLF. Yeah, yeah. I did it for 73 days. I didn't like Syracuse.
73 days.
Yeah. And John Kelly called me and said, listen, why don't you come back to Albany? But I want you to do something a little different. I said, what do you mean? He goes, how about you do a morning show with your wife? We know my wife had experience in television and a few other things.
Huh.
We'll do the first, you do your husband and wife morning show. So I went to Phyllis. I said, would you like to give it a try? She said, yeah, well, what about April? I said, well, you know, we'll tough it out. So we went back to our house in Schenectady, and our next door neighbors said, well, we get up early. We'll take your daughter, you know, because I got there at 4.
Mm-hmm.
Phyllis got there at 6:15, 6:30.
Okay.
To join the morning show. And what she would do is April would be asleep. Phyllis would pass April over the fence to the woman next door and then come to the station. And at 10 o'clock, pick April up and bring her back to the house.
Crazy.
It was. But the morning show was successful. It was called Mitchell and Moore. Because her last name was Moore.
Perfect.
And that, yeah. Then K-Lite called 3 years later. And they said, we need a live morning show, somebody with a lot of experience. And at that time, I had dropped all my shock stuff because I had a wife and a kid. I mean, it was not, you know, I just couldn't take a chance that one joke would blow me the hell out of there.
You matured, you know,
matured.
Yeah, and the business was as well. So, yeah.
So they said, you know, we're building a morning show. We want you to be the anchor, but we're not interested in having a husband and wife show. So I said to Phyllis, I said, do you mind? She goes, no, I hate these hours.
I
said,
I get to spend more time with my kid again.
Exactly. Without passing her over the fence. So at that point, we had moved to Latham, and I took the show at K-Line.
Now, you're rejoining John Knott at that time?
At that time, yeah, John Knott was the PD, but he recommended to Bill Selwood.
Mm-hmm.
To hire me, and I wound up staying there, 9.5 years.
Wow.
And we built that station up to a gangbuster. Yeah. for a lousy 6,000 watts.
Yep.
I mean, that we really cooked that station.
You guys ruled, absolutely. I remember it very well.
And then between me doing the morning show, the high school dances, then I started doing weddings,
mm-hmm.
parties, oldies night at the Down Under going on.
Oh, I used to come by and see you guys at the Down Under. Absolutely.
At Miracles and everything else. I mean, I got to say, when it came to side money, I made a fortune in Albany, and I made so many friends. Oh my God, on Facebook. Yeah. It never goes by. I know I'll see a couple post that they got married 25 years ago, and I'll write them and say, there. I remember the day.
There you go.
And they'll say, yeah, you were our DJ. And
That's pretty good.
It's the best feeling.
And this is back in the day when you started doing this. You're hauling equipment all over the place. I only did it once. To be honest with you, Rick, it was not my thing to be in front of a live audience like that, even though I did TV for a while. But being in all the equipment that I had to bring that night, and I actually left a key piece of equipment home by accident because I didn't. I thought it was a different piece, and I just remember, no, this is not for me, so you got to be able to do both. I mean, it's a very, you're a very different personality when you're on site doing something than you are when you're behind the microphone with yourself.
And I'm still doing it. I've been down here 13 years.
Wow.
And now people know me from the gigs, and they bump into me at the store and, that.
Yeah.
I mean, my goal, I told Mary, my wife, I told her, I said, when I get down here, I want to become as well known here as I was up north.
Well, good for
you. Granted, I had 30 some odd years up there, 35 years. I said, but here I'm getting to that point now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
However, how much longer I can keep doing
because
I'm hauling heavy stuff.
Yeah.
Almost, and you're right. You're right. As you get older, it's not any easier. Yeah.
Now, of course, the bigger problem you have now down there is a short-term memory loss, which we're all having. So, people aren't going to remember you sometimes. I hate to tell you this, Rick, but you're in a very senior community down there,
Yeah, in the villages. But there's 144,000 people here.
God, isn't that something? Yeah.
It's amazing. And they're constantly, I'm at parties, I'm hosting. Because now I don't do dances. I mean, I still do them if somebody asks. I don't do dances and parties anymore. Now I do game shows.
Cool.
TV game shows like Family Feud, Wheel of Fortune. Yeah. I do music bingo.
All right.
We call it jukebox bingo. They love it. They sing along with the oldies. Have a good time. I do team trivia,
mm-hmm.
but no pencil and paper where you got to walk up and drop the answers on. It's all electronic, and I provide all the electronics. So I mean, it's just a whole different thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And many times I'll be there, and they'll there's 3,200 clubs here, the New York club, the Iowa club, and I'm meeting people from all different cultures and communities, and people will walk in, they'll go, I used to listen to you at Schenectady.
crazy. Well,
I
told you before we started recording that the reason we knew you were down there is our old friend John Stanley was looking in the villages for a winter place. And he calls me and he says, I can't get away from this Rick Mitchell guy. He's down here now.
Well, that's just it. When we moved here 13 years ago, I did no radio. I played golf. I did this. I did that. Mm-hmm. I shuffleboard the whole bit. I was going to kind of lay low. And then after a while, I looked at my wife and I said, you know what? I do miss something. Let me see what I can come up with.
Yeah.
And I did a lot of research and said, I could do this. I mean, I've had so many years experience in front of crowds and motivating crowds to have a good time.
Sure.
So I could, and sure enough, I did. And all of a sudden, I started booking and booking and booking. And now I'm almost as busy as I was up north.
Isn't that crazy?
I enjoy it. It's helped me maintain a youthful feel.
Well, good.
I swim every morning. I do radio 2 days a week. Mm-hmm. If I wasn't doing it, the exercise and stuff, I think I would be a lot more haggard, but I still feel young and youthful, you know, and my back hurts a little bit. The swimming takes care of that. So.
Good, good. Well, let's go back to the timeline, because you're at K-Lite for like 9 years, but was that your last stop up here or not?
No, but they brought in a new manager.
Mm-hmm. where have I heard this story before? Oh, and, I know, and, about 10 minutes ago.
The guy who was running things was Todd Pettengill.
Ah, yes.
He was doing the morning show in New York, but a new owner came in, Paul Bendav.
Yep.
And he hired Todd, you know, and get this done and get that done. And then they started letting guys go. John Knott got let go. Mm-hmm. This guy got let go. Walt Adams. And, and all of a sudden, all these guys are being let go. And it's me and Lisa Walker, because at that time, Lisa and I were doing the morning
show. I do remember that, yep.
And it's like, oh. And then Lisa either quit or got like, whatever, that's not important. And so I'm there alone, and then finally they call me in. And they almost fired us on the same day. Mm. I mean, and it's like, you've got to be shitting me, pardon my language. Yeah. You know, so then I get a call from Scott Collins.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, why don't you come up and do mornings at Star Radio? I could use you up here. So, you know, I knew the money wasn't going to be the same as I was making at K-Lite, but I still had the outside gigs, and I was still doing commercials. I was the voice of Record Town, so I made it a lot of money.
There you
voiceover
go. Yeah,
for
yeah.
Record Town. God, who buys records anymore?
Oh, yes, yes. Crazy that it's changed so much.
I wound up staying at Star for a good three and a half years. Worked with John Meany up there. It was a good station. I mean, it was never going to show big numbers as far as the metropolitan area, but did show numbers for Saratoga County.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. You know? Yeah, yeah.
As long as you super served the county, you were fine.
Exactly.
You know?
Yep.
So I did 3.5 years, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Kevin Callahan calls me and says, "Listen, we need a morning host at B95." And I'm going, really? And you're calling me? But at that point, I was like maybe in my mid-50s. You know, you're starting to think that really, does anybody really want you at that age? But they called me. They said, we want to build another morning show here. Chuck and Kelly moved to their next station. Mm-hmm. You'll have to forgive me. I forgot what the calls were. Where did Chuck Taylor go to?
You know, they didn't go over to GNA, did they? To do country? No, that was a different duo.
It was another FM.
Yeah, and I forgot.
104.9, I think it was.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah, anyway. So they said they're leaving us. We want you to take over and hire a woman. And they said, we want you to be the PD and the mornings. Now, PD and mornings is a tough gig.
Yeah, yeah.
It is. It is. I'm sorry. And so, but I took it and I did the best I could. And I wound up hiring Laura Daniels.
Okay.
So it was Rick and Laura in the morning. And at that point, Lisa Walker had left to go into teaching full time. So
smart woman.
Very smart. Anyway, so it was Rick and Laura. And we kicked ass our first couple of years. Yeah. And then they brought in a new manager.
My Lord, there's it's like it's a stuck record here, you know, a stuck 45.
You're right. A guy named Chuck Benfer, and he wound up firing me, and Kevin Callahan was very gracious about it, and so I never hold anything against him, but so then I got let go, and I sat around for a couple of months and started to build my plan to go to the villages.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, Scott Collins called again and said, listen, why don't you come back to the Star?
Crazy.
So I wound up going back to Star for a couple of years and then gave my notice and said I was retiring. So it was 35 years in Albany.
Wow.
I'm at home one day working at Star, and I read an obituary in the paper, and the last name is familiar, and I called a guy. And I look at the names, you know, of the surviving family, mm-hmm. and it's a friend of mine. Mm. So I called him up because the last I had heard they were living either in Mexico or someplace. Anyway, so I called the number that I had for him, And he said, oh, yeah, thanks a lot. He goes, I'm in Troy for my, you know, the funeral and this and that, his mother, father, whatever. And I said, so where are you now? Oh, we moved to a place called The Villages. Mm-hmm. It's really cool, you know, this and that. Yeah, yeah. So he goes, you ought to go look into it. So I said to Mary, I said, I looked into it, and they said, you know, come for a preview program for a week. So we did. And we just fell in love with the place.
There you go.
Yeah, and now it's been 13 years, and I own a golf cart. You know, and when I found out that there were all these clubs, that at the time there were 1,700 clubs, now there's, like I said, 3,200, 3,300 mm-hmm. that I could wind up playing for. And I just, you know, we just have a ball, and now we become a real part of the community.
Yeah.
And that's what I did in Albany, and I love Albany. Can I tell you, the Capital District to me was gold, and never, ever, ever regret the time I spent there.
Yeah. Well, you're still remembered very, very fondly by everybody up here, you know, except some of the program directors you worked for. But other than that,
you believe that? You know, these guys that, and I understand. You know, you want to make changes, but geez, I mean, that's the biggest thing that I kind of regret about radio.
Sure.
She had no respect for my personal life or anybody else's personal life.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, yeah, we'll just fire them.
Yeah.
I used to freaking hate that.
Yeah, well, we were a commodity. Were and still are, I guess, you know, and that's what it was. The toughest part for folks like you and me that just were born to do this and love to do it is that we're working for a business when you come down to the bottom line. And so that's what they're looking at is the bottom line all the time. And when I was let go from GNA after 12 years with the station, it wasn't for anything I had done wrong. They were about to put the station up for sale, and I was making the most money of all the air staff. So what do you do to make the bottom line look better? You get rid of a couple of expensive guys and you hire cheaper people. Yeah, that's all.
And that's what happened at K-Light. I was obviously the highest paid. I was the morning guy and this and that.
Yeah.
So, you know, we can do this. Todd Pettengill is going to do the morning show with Scott Shannon in Albany, and they're not even going to be here long, you know.
Well, it's again, bottom line is it's a business, and it's gotten even, you know, more cutthroat, obviously.
Honestly, I don't think I could go into radio today.
No. That in itself is a problem. I mean, you know, there isn't a lot. It doesn't seem anyway that there's a lot of new talent coming up because there are just so few opportunities. Most of the stations have a morning, you know, person or duo. And after that, it's people from outside the market that are, you know, voice tracking and putting it in the computer. And they don't know the market. They get it all off their screen, you know, that's how they know what to talk about. Yeah. And it's just there's a distance there. You might not think so, but there's still a distance there. Some of the air checks I listen to of mine, I'm telling you what I'm seeing out the window. I'm telling you, you know, hey, there's a storm coming across the valley. You know, I mean, none of that is there anymore. None of the immediacy and the live feel.
Let me tell you something. If there's anybody listening and they're thinking about getting into radio, and I get it, you know, it looks exciting and this and that, and you meet girls, you know what I'm saying, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
And I did a lot of that in my time too. But the worst part is being down here when I meet all these people who worked at GE.
Mm-hmm.
The postal service, and their pensions are 70, 80, 90, 100,000 a year.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about if I hadn't started an IRA in my early 30s, because I got prompted by a guy saying, you know, you really should get this new thing called an IRA.
Yeah, smart.
If I hadn't started that, I'd have had nothing. You know what I'm saying?
It's true.
You know, let me tell you something. There was a guy on the paper this morning. He was talking, and he was because the Villages has their own newspaper, and they were talking about how he gets an annual pension of $110,000. I'm going, holy crap! You know, I never made that much.
No,
you know, as far as salary goes.
Sure, sure. No, it's the story of most of us in radio. I've got some friends that are still in it that because they really can't retire. You know, they need that extra income, you know, little as it might be, but they didn't get the IRA soon enough. It was a rough business in that respect, but I had so much fun, made so many memories, have so many, you know, great friends that I've been able to keep in touch with over the years. You would love, every other month we do a lunch up here. John Knott has been able to come once or twice when he's been in town. And we just, all these old, I call it the old dead radio DJs lunch, and we just have a ball just sharing stories. You know, sometimes you've heard the story two or three times, but you let them go, you know. It's just fun to have that community, and we can all commiserate a little bit. Some of us are still on and, you know, working part-time and that sort of thing. But I thank my wife when I got let go from GNA after all that time. She said to me, maybe there's something else besides radio that you could do, you know, full-time. And so for a couple, you know, a few months, I was off the air, and then I went back part-time for another 30-plus years. I had a great time just being a part-timer, but making some decent money in a completely different career that I did for many years.
Isn't that amazing? You just said the key words. In the other job, you were making some decent money. I have a lot of mental ill will toward managements over the years. They took advantage of us.
Oh, sure, sure.
I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be a bitter old man.
I understand. And I met a young lady, 82. I met a young lady last night. We went out to dinner with friends, and she had no idea that that's what radio was like. She goes, oh, I just thought you guys were stars, and you made all this money, and then the whole thing. I said, it's all smoke and mirrors. You know, a lot of us didn't become rich doing it, you know.
No, I took a lot of the money I made at weddings and parties and still do down here, and I just sock it away.
Yeah, perfect.
You have to, especially as you get older. So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it sounds like you got the world by its tail down there, and we're thrilled to hear that. And everybody up here, again, remembers you fondly. I very often I'll tell somebody what my background is. Oh, did you ever work with Rick Mitchell? You know, so I mean, your name does come up, and of course, at these lunches, we just talk disparagingly about anybody that's not here. So we have fun, but it is good to hear your voice again and to know things are hanging in there. And as I mentioned before we started recording, if you come across any air checks from the good old days, especially from the very early days, I love embarrassing guys and putting on those early air checks, you know, because I've got them too, you know. So so feel free to send it on up, and we'll include it in this fun hour that we've just done. And Rick, I just wish you the best going forward, and hope that you continue having the success you do in your golden years. Is that what they're called, I guess?
Yeah, I guess they are, yeah.
And thanks for sharing all that with us today. I've really enjoyed it.
Hey, you know, like I said, I'm still doing it 2 days a week. It's hard to get out of the blood.
Oh, absolutely,
But 2 days a week is a lot better than five of getting up.
I tend to agree
with you. 3 in the morning, and I enjoy it. Excellent. And here, I have a program director, but he doesn't ride my tail over little minuscule things.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, you know what you're doing. You've been doing it for 53 years. Mm-hmm. Just do it and be entertaining.
Yeah, yeah. My last program director, you know, had some, still critiqued me now and again, but pretty much knew I don't have to worry about this guy. You know, if I talk to him once or twice a year, we're cool. You know, and that's how it worked. Yeah, and I loved my final years. I, like you, went through the doors of WTRY a couple of times and worked for them the last 18 years of my part-time career and had a ball. And again, because of folks like you, TRY was a goal for me, you know, whether it be full or part-time, because the station just had such a pedigree and I wanted to be included in that. So I got a chance to do it and had fun. Very happy now doing the podcast and working a little bit of part-time, doing voice work. I enjoy that as well. And I'm loving retirement as well. So you do the same, sir.
All right. Thank you so much, Warren. I appreciate it.
Radio Split Ranch.
And thank you, Rick, for the time travel back to the 20th century when radio was alive and daily part of our lives. After our great conversation, Rick texted to me to say, Oh, I failed to mention how I got from the air name Rick Scott to Rick Mitchell. Rick says when he moved back to New York from Montana and got to WTRY for the first time, the station told him, well, you can't be Rick Scott because the owner of the company is Herb Scott and Scott Broadcasting. However, we do have some names we're considering, like Rick Mitchell, Rick Johnson, Rick this and Rick that, he says. So Rick says Rick Mitchell is what he chose. And Rick told me he's also very proud of his two daughters, who he forgot to mention, wanted to throw this in, the oldest of which is a stand-up comedian, and the younger, who's a motivational speaker. What's the saying? The apple doesn't fall too far from the tree? Congrats, Rick. Thanks again for a fun hour. Before we started recording, I reminded Rick of the running count of call letters represented by all our guests at the Radio Split Ranch. I told him I thought John Gabriel held the record with something like 15, and he said, I may come close to that. And sure enough, he did. Rick adds 12 different call letters to our survey, bringing the running total now to 275 stations from 27 guests. Well, if you're a regional radio history fan, you're really going to enjoy our next podcast. I've been working on it for months now, and it's really been a labor of love. I spent 12 of my 50-plus years in radio at a station I helped sign on 50 years ago, December 10th this year. FM Country WGNA in Albany, New York remains a top-rated country powerhouse. So I thought getting the original air staff to take us back to its formative days would be a real kick. I found four of the five original air personalities and two more who joined the station in the first months it was on the air. Add to that my recollections as an original morning newsman myself and eventual news director, plus a weekly jock shift that I did shortly after the station signed on. And needless to say, we've got a real story to tell. Don't miss our conversations, air checks, early jingle packages, and much more next month on the Radio Split Ranch. I'll close out this edition with a WTRY air check of mine from April 1st, 2001. Now, this is TRY FM when Rick was back doing mornings with co-host Jamie Roberts. I had just joined the station doing weekends after some 7 years doing Saturday mornings on 99.5 The River, which was just down the hall at the Albany Clear Channel cluster at the time. Hope these quick 10 minutes take you back and put a smile on your face. Hope it doesn't stop you from checking us out again next month on the Radio Split Ranch. In the meantime, don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened.
Good times and great oldies, 98.3 WTRY, the Beach Boys, and they did a big tribute to Brian Wilson this past week. That'll be on TNT this summer, a big special with Elton John, Billy Joel, Paul Simon, David Crosby, Carly Simon, Jimmy Webb, Anna Nancy Wilson, Darius Rucker. They were all there to tribute the Beach Boys leader, Brian Wilson. Here's King Harvest at Oldies 98.
We get it almost every night. Feel a woman.
A little Deuce Coupe is cool. But compared to this, it's just another used car.
Get ready for the Big Ben's blowout.
More details coming soon on your station for good times and great oldies.
98.3 WTRY.
Good times and great oldies, 98.3 WTRY. Well, it's been a whole week since the Oscars. Have you gotten over Jennifer Lopez's dress yet? I hear Russell Crowe's thinking of his own kidnapping plot against Steve Martin, too. Here's Jerry and the Pacemakers at Oldies 98.
Fly.
Good times and great oldies, WTRY.
Good times and great oldies, 98.3 WTRY, Kingsman Classic Louie Louie. How are you this afternoon? I'm Chris Warren. It's spring, and young women's fancy turns to weddings. I spotted some great tips online at digitalcity.com. Everything from the pre-I-do checklist to the post-I-do checklist, I guess. If it helps, you can invite me to the wedding, all right? It just prime rib, just check me off right there. Best wishes, of course, from Oldies 98 WTRY. Got the Temptations next.
Hello!
Why do you listen to Oldies 98.3?
I like Oldies music.
It brings back a lot of memories.
I like the music.
Fun. It makes me get up and want to dance.
Good times. Great Oldies. 98.3. WTRY.
I hear a sound.
Good times and great oldies, 98.3 WTRY, Diana Ross and the Supremes. Well, the lawn's a little too squishy to be picking up all the twigs dropped by your pine trees this winter, so here's some rock and roll to enjoy while we wait for Mother Nature to give you a shot of the front yard. It's Neil Diamond's Cherry Cherry at Oldies 98.
Baby, love me, Cherry.
Good times and great oldies, 98.3 WTRY with Neil Diamond. Good afternoon, I'm Chris Warren. Could you use a new car? Could you use a Mercedes-Benz? Well, more stations means more money and more winners with a Big Ben's Blowout. It starts tomorrow. You can listen to Rick and Jamie tomorrow morning at 7:20 for all the details on your station for good times and great oldies. 98.3 WTRY. Rascals standing by.
Good times. Great oldies. 98.3
WTRY. All right, is everybody ready?
If your car runs roads like a crab, relax. Coming in days, a contest that could put you into the driver's seat of power, style, and luxury. On Good Times and Great Oldies, 98.3 WTRY.
Rotterdam, on Clear Channel Station.
Close your eyes and I'll kiss you. I will send to you.
Good afternoon. It's another great hour of great oldies from BJ Thomas, Marvin Gaye, Donovan. Here comes Tommy James.
98.3. Good times, great oldies. WTRY.
The Boomer sing-along station of the Capital Region.
98.3. WTRY.
Good times and great oldies.
Good times and great oldies, 98.3 WTRY. I'm Chris Warren, and here's the one you were listening to on the way to the prom when your friends in the back seat remembered they forgot their tickets. It's Donovan on Good Times and Great Oldies, 98.3 WTRY.
Sunshine,
98.3. Good times, great oldies, WTRY.
It's the seat springs that greet you first, then the Revital, the door that doesn't fit, the roof leak, the reluctant transmission, and the whistle. What the heck is that whistle? Yeah. But now you can go from beater to world beater as you enjoy fine German engineering and the luxury that is the 2001 Mercedes-Benz E320.
Get ready to win
the Big Ben's Blowout.
Just listen at 7:20 tomorrow morning for Rick and Jamie to give you the winning window of opportunity. Then later in the day, when you hear the cue to call, simply be the 25th caller on our nationwide toll-free number. 1-866-WIN-CARS. You'll win $2,001 in cash or a brand new 2001 Benz E320.
The Big Benz Blowout.
On your station for good times and great oldies. 98.3 WTRY.
Good times and great oldies. 98.3 WTRY. Here comes Jimmy Gilmer and the Fireballs.
Let me go home and start.
Why do you listen to Oldies 98.3?
I love the music.
Oh, I've listened to it all my life.
Takes me back when I was a kid.
Makes me feel good inside.
Good times. Great Oldies. 98.3.
WTRY.
Hey, good times and great oldies, 98.3 WTRY with yet another memory shaker from the night he first walked you to your door. Here's the Left Bank at Oldies 98.
And when I see the sign of
the frequency for fun in the Capital Region.
98.3 WTRY.
Good times and great oldies.
Good times and great oldies. 98.3 WTRY. That'll get you bouncing up and down on the couch this afternoon. Good afternoon. I'm Chris Warren. We hope you'll join us for the fight against multiple sclerosis. The 2001 MS Walk is coming up on April 21st and 22nd. Nearly 1/3 of 1 million Americans are living with MS. It's an unpredictable, often chronic disease. strikes between the ages of 20 and 40. You might know somebody. Walks are going to take place to help these folks out throughout the capital region. Albany, Schenectady, Rensselaer, Gloversville, even Hyde Park, a little south of us here. For more information on the MS Walk in your community on April 21st and 22nd, call 464-0630 or 1-800-FIGHT-MS. Get out and walk. The weather will be a lot nicer for that a little later on in the month. Chuck Berry coming up next.
To learn more, visit Caltrate.com.
Just let me hear some of that if you want to dance with me.
Cha-cha-cha. More stations means more money and more winners. The Big Ben's Blowout starts tomorrow. Listen to Rick and Jamie at 7:20 a.m. for all the details from Oldies 98.
If I had told her that I loved her.
Good times and great oldies. WTRY.
Oh, it's fun. It makes me get up and want to dance.
If it's fun music,
it's WTRY music.
It makes me feel good inside.
Good times and great old 98.3 WTRY.
Good times and great oldies, 98.3 WTRY, Frankie and the Four Seasons, Walk Like a Man. Did you see Frankie Valli on the induction ceremonies for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame a couple weeks ago? He hasn't changed an iota, has he, since the 60s? I don't think so. He hasn't gotten any taller either. Well, I hope you don't get hungry on that Albany to New York City train ride. Amtrak officials say they're considering removing food cars from their train service. Passengers aren't happy about the news. Financial problems have caused the company to look at removing the cafe car. I don't know about you, but I'm going to miss that oversized muffin they sell at breakfast. Isn't that good? Yeah. Good times and great oldies, 98.3 WTRY. Guess who's next? That's right. Guess who's next?
I'm talking with...
More music, good times, great oldies. 98.3 WTRY.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dick Bartley, and this is American Gold on 98.3 WTRY-FM, Rotterdam, Albany, Schenectady, Troy, Oldies 98 WTRY.
American Gold.